There are those who say that the right to carry a gun is a constitutional right which gives them added protection against personal harm, while others claim that right to carry laws add to the dangers in people's lives. A new report has examined right to carry laws in America, the beliefs behind them, and the potential changes proposed federal legislation may have for them. With us now to share the results of this study is the director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research, Daniel Webster. Thank you for being here today, sir.
Good to be with you.
And we have a direct link to the study and to the center, but if you want to go to Johns Hopkins Center and use that as a starting point, it's jhsph.edu. Let's start with just a definition, as you do in the report, too. There are basically three classifications of right to carries in the states: the may issue permit, the shall issue, and a handful of states, Alaska, Arizona, Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, Kansas, Missouri, Mississippi, West Virginia, maybe to the surprise of many, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, which have no permit and regulations of right to carry. But for those other two classifications, how do those differ?
Sure. An important distinction. For just eight states now, the policy for issuing permits to carry concealed firearms involves law enforcement discretion, and typically, an application where someone has to demonstrate not only that they're particularly safe, but they also, in at least for many of those eight states, that they have some special need, some special risk or situation that requires them to have a gun outside their home in a concealed manner. In the other 30 states, you have what we call shall issue. So basically the way it works there, if you are legal to possess a gun in your home and there may be some additional minimal requirements, the state shall issue you your permit to carry a concealed firearm in public places.
Being that we're here in New Jersey, we've talked about often the show, New Jersey is, no surprise, one of those may issue states with qualifications that are above and beyond the shall issue state laws and regulations. That's led to some situations, too, where there was a woman who had a legal right to carry in Philadelphia, came into New Jersey, got stopped for a traffic violation. New Jersey State Trooper found a gun, and through the court system, she was going to be sentenced to 3 years, I believe, in New Jersey prison, and that was until Governor Christie had to issue a pardon for her. So with that in mind, there is some pending federal legislation, as I mentioned in the intro, regarding concealed carry reciprocity. What's, as far as that idea, given that one instance, and there are others, by the way, in tandem with that Philadelphia woman, what are the concerns and what are the pluses and minuses of this proposed legislation?
Sure. Many states have their own agreements with each other, with a state-to-state kind of agreements of reciprocity. Generally, these are situations where the state requirements are reasonably similar from state to state, so that, for example, someone in Pennsylvania could, if they had a Pennsylvania permit, they could bring that gun and carry that gun into neighboring states, like Ohio or West Virginia, for example. What the bill in Congress would do if passed would basically say, if you have a permit from any state, and now people in most states, or I think actually all states, can actually go to certain states and get a permit issued by their state. So, for example, someone in New Jersey could get a permit from, say, Utah, which has basically it's just an online process. You can get it pretty quickly. And while they could not legally carry a firearm in New Jersey under New Jersey law, in Utah and in many states that recognize Utah licenses, they could carry their firearm. What this bill in Congress would do if passed is basically say, if you're legal to carry anyway, and that includes the 12 states that don't even issue permits. So someone who is from West Virginia, resident of West Virginia, that has permitless carry, if the bill is passed, he or she could carry a firearm into New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, any number of states that have far more restrictive laws as it relates to concealed carry.
One of the other points you bring up, too, in this report, and again, we've linked to it over at our website, is that in right-to-carry states, there are people with criminal histories that still can legally carry concealed guns. And I'm reading that, and the first thing I'm thinking is someone who has been convicted of domestic violence, for example. Now, there are some states which have become more wise, and they will actually yank the guns from those people convicted of domestic violence for the obvious reason. The downside is that rate of domestic violence still goes up. Now they're using knives instead of guns. But as far as the right to carry states where that is allowed, is that just a case of the lax? Once you get a permit, that's a one and done deal? Is there?
Yeah, so there's different issues there. In some cases, certainly, yes, the permits can be good for 10 years, for example. Someone subsequently could be convicted of a violent crime. Technically, if the state is operating ideally, they can identify those disqualifications and discontinue a permit. But I don't think that is common practice in many states. But I think really a different or related issue is that even the standards for being able to legally possess a gun inside your home, for example, really are quite different across the country. New Jersey happens to have the most restrictive laws with respect to criminal violations disqualifying someone from possessing a firearm. But in other states, you can be convicted a number of violent crimes if they're misdemeanor crimes. You could have a number of prior restraining orders for domestic violence. You could have prior instances where you've been adjudicatedly to be mentally incompetent or because of mental health crisis, a danger to yourself or others. You could have all kinds of things in your past and still be able to legally possess a firearm, and then of course go on and get a permit or be able to legally carry in most of our states. So that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. They sort of think of things in very stark, someone's a criminal or someone's not. And in our world, they come in all shapes and shades of criminality. So someone could have a number of felonies, and you could say, yeah, that person is a criminal, has led a life of crime, and others a complete opposite. But there's these folks in the middle that in many states are still able to legally possess and carry firearms about anywhere they want. The other thing as it relates to safety standards is those who are pushing for concealed carry reciprocity try to make an analogy with a permit to carry a concealed gun with a driver's license. So they say, I got a driver's license in Pennsylvania, I'm able to drive in New Jersey and any number of other states. Well, yes, that's true. That's because all of our states have reasonably rigorous processes in issuing driver's license, so that you have to actually demonstrate that you can safely handle a vehicle in the manner that you're being licensed to do. That's really not the case when it comes to permits for concealed carry. Only 10 states have even any requirement that you fire a gun at all. And those requirements typically do not involve any kind of scenario that would be similar to what someone is being licensed to do, carry a firearm around with them in public and then respond when there is some crisis situation, someone's committing a crime, a mass shooter, a variety of kind of circumstances. So people are being given licenses to do things that they haven't been demonstrated that they can safely do.
The report is Concealed Carry of Firearms, Facts versus Fiction. It does add to the conversation, which has to be a detailed one, and at least I believe that it has to be equally shared not just by the gun owner, but also gun dealers, as well as the judicial system, and certainly, as we've seen way too often, the mental health industry, which tries to cover their own tails when something goes wrong instead of preventing something that could go wrong. The report can be found. We've linked to it directly at our site, but you can use as a starting point the website for Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research, jhsph.edu. We've been joined by the director, Daniel Webster. Daniel, thanks for sharing this info with us.
Thanks for having me.